When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mullins is on the brink of emulating Vincent O'Brien by becoming champion trainer in both Ireland and Great Britain in the same season after a 4,462-1 four-timer, including taking the feature race on Scottish Grand National Day at Ayr. Welcome along to the Final Furlong Podcast. It is great to have your company. I'm Emmett Kennedy, and great to have the company of an old friend of the show, making his first appearance for quite a while, now retired jockey Aidan Coleman. Aidan, welcome back to the Final Furlong Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Trying to get used to life on the other side, hopefully might do a bit more media work and see what else is out there for me. I still haven't found a direction of what the next chapter of my life is going to be, so putting irons in the fire and something will come back, hopefully.
Oh, absolutely. You're too good to keep down. First of all, beard game is strong for those who are watching on YouTube. Aidan's beard is coming in very, very nicely. You were on TalkSport 2 with us during the week, and you were telling my colleague Lee McKenzie that you did some media appearances and some of the corporate boxes at the Grand National meeting, and you went in and went, "Hi, I'm Aidan Coleman." And people were literally going, no, you're not. Aidan Coleman doesn't have a beard.
I've had a lot of people come up to me and they take a second look, several people, and think, "Geez, I didn't recognize you without the beard." But I suppose when you're clean shaven for the bones of 20 odd years, then people aren't really going to initially acknowledge you when you have this.
Yeah, when they haven't seen you for a while and then you have, yeah.
And I'm also 11 and a half, nearly 12 stone as well, so that's about a stone and a half heavier than I've ever been to, so there's a couple of things going on.
So how are you adjusting to the reality that, because it's great whenever a jockey gets to walk away on their own terms, and obviously Paddy Byrne got to do that last week, but this is not on your own terms, you're forced into it. So how has your mindset been adjusting to the fact that what you love to do, you can't do anymore?
Oh, look, it's been tough, to be honest, Emmett. Yeah, it's like all I wanted was to be a jockey for as long as I can remember. And I was fortunate enough one day I got to do it, and to do it to quite a high level. So I literally was living a dream for, as I said, I think 18 seasons or something like that. And then obviously I got an injury, which is fine. Jockeys get hurt. I've been hurt before, not obviously to this extent, but you kind of rehab it. You throw everything into the rehab. You're still a jockey. And you come back and you go again. And it wasn't until really kind of just after Cheltenham week that I found out that, that was it. Your knee's not going to recover enough to be a jockey again. And that's that. It's been tough, because it's a big change, because it's like losing an identity, yeah. Off season, and it's because it's such a relentless day-to-day job. Like, you are literally a jockey every day, basically. If even if you got 2 weeks off, the first few days of it, you're remembering the rides you had before. And then even when you're still on your holidays, the entries are coming out for the races coming up. So it's so relentless, and you feed off that. And now all of a sudden that, you're watching horses like John Bond during the year and thinking like, oh yeah, I'm looking at him hopefully for riding him next season. Now I'm looking at him thinking, oh, I used to ride him. Never going to sit in them again. It's a tough transition, and still very much kind of coming to terms with it, to be honest. It's a bit up and down, but I'm not going to complain too much or be a victim or anything like that. It's sport is hard, and as I said, I was fortunate enough to do really well out of it for a long time. So if this is what's meant to be, then I'll take it in the chin and try and make my best way forward from now on.
Yeah, I'm just really sorry that it was forced on you. Like, I would love it that it's a Paddy Byrne situation where you've chosen to go out when you want to.
Yeah, that
it's cruel. It's just cruel that your body betrays you like that, and that's the only way you can look at it. It's an issue with your knee that's just not going to be fixed with conventional medicine.
Yeah, I don't think I blame my body entirely for this one. I'll blame the rail at Worcester. I don't think my knee was ever going to be a solid plastic. rail banged into the ground in a metal stake. I don't think I was ever going to win that one, but I was hoping we might get back, but obviously it wasn't to be.
All together, everybody watching this, everybody listening to this, damn you, Worcester Rail!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I've been saying for a long time anyway. Because it's 10 months now as well, so... So yeah,
10 months.
Yeah, 10 over 10 months now, just over. So yeah, it's been a long rehab, course of rehab. I'm still going, you know. I was there in the gym this morning, there tomorrow, not there Wednesday, there Thursday, there Friday, and then same again next week.
Is training something you've any aspiration to do or any interest
no,
in?
No, I'm fortunate. Kevin does quite well at that, and I'll be able, like, I will probably end up moving home, you know, sooner rather than later, relocating back to Ireland. So all changes to me, and hopefully I can help him out a little bit too, and we can grow that together a little bit. But that's very much his gig, it's not mine.
We'll talk more about just how difficult it is to be a trainer. But for Willie Mullins, it's just, he's playing the game on easy mode. It's absolutely ridiculous what he's doing. We've never seen anything like it. We might never see anything like it again. As I said at the top of the show, he's on the brink of being champion trainer, just like Vincent O'Brien was, champion of both countries at the exact same time. He hasn't even really been trying. It's not since the Cheltenham Festival, Aintree, and now the Scottish Grand National meeting. What does that say about British racing? Paul Nicholls has been targeting the entire season of being champion trainer. Willie Mullins comes along. I'm pretty sure Jeff Banks bet we're going 16-1 about Willie Mullins to be champion trainer of Great Britain before the Cheltenham Festival, and now he's got one hand on the trophy.
Yeah, well, nearly two, I suppose, isn't he? But we'll see how that goes. But Aidan O'Brien's been doing it in the flat for a long time. What does it say? It's a tricky one. Look, obviously, the prize money is in the bigger races, and Willie's got, you know, umpteen horses to run in these races that, you know, he's invariably going to win a lot of them. Look, he's had an unbelievably successful season, even by his standards, which are quite high. And there's issues definitely that, you know, need to be addressed urgently in British jump racing. But I don't think Willie Mullins being champion trainer is one of them. I think, you know, he's won the races with the biggest prize money, and that's just that, isn't it? I'm not sure there's lessons learned going forward to how we could stop it happening, because, as I said, he had over 120 or 30 runners here. Some of them, obviously, a lot of those have been more than one runner in a race, and, you know, he's bringing back the prize money to the biggest races. If he didn't win the National a couple of weeks ago, then we wouldn't be having this conversation, probably.
It's a combination of factors. Nicky Henderson's yard suffered the bug that it suffered. There's obviously something very, very wrong at that yard, and that effectively rules out every single one of his big guns from the Cheltenham Festival, and then also compromises a number of them at Aintree as well, because as Lizzie Kelly was saying, yeah, John Bond won and Sergino won, but you're going to get your fingers burnt if you're supporting Nicky Henderson that week, because Shishkin blew out. You just don't know who's going to perform and who isn't going to. So that's worked out in his favour. He's won the Grand National, which has obviously worked out in his favour. He's then extraordinarily won the Scottish Grand National a week later, which basically hands it to him.
With the Nicky thing, you could always say, because obviously Nicky's horse would be under a cloud, or hopefully on the way out of that now, but they had been for 6 weeks or a couple, or whatever time period they were out. You could imagine he made it easier for Dan and Paul not competing against him day in, day out, you know, on the races leading up to Cheltenham and around Cheltenham.
That's a good counterpoint.
It's only, like, I just think this year is, I think, no, I think, I don't think this year, I think Willie Mullins can be champion trainer in Britain for a couple of years with the power, the team of horses he has. But it all kind of, the tipping point in this was the Grand National, which is one race that, you know, you can't be relying on to, you know, have a Willie Mullins hot pot in. Sorry.
There have been a couple of times where Paul Nicholls has pulled this out of the fire, in that he's in a titanic tussle with Martin Pipe or a titanic tussle with Nicky Henderson, and then he wins the Grand National or the Scottish Grand National. There was one year he won the Grand National. He said, oh, that's blown Nicky out of the water.
The next time I got close, Vicente won the Scottish National with Sam Twiston and got that title back as well. So the trainer's champion title race can need a good lead up to a good narrative, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's been fantastic this season.
Yeah.
I think it is only something to admire. Gavin Lynch was pointing out the other day, this wasn't handed to Willie Mullins. Like, he comes from a racing dynasty, but he was not handed the family farm. Yeah. 13 runners at the 2003 Cheltenham Festival. He had nearly, probably in excess of 80 in the 2024 Cheltenham Festival. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, no, fair play to him. I think Gordon Trend is 200 winner in Ireland this year as well. You know, they're incredible achievements. And you can't, I've never been one to buy into the argument of having to, you know, restrict the amount of runners in races or whatever. I just think you can't penalize success. These things come in cycles as well, don't they? You know, it's not going, you know, Willie Mullins isn't going to be champion trainer in England and Ireland for the next 20 years, you know. You know, these things come and go, don't they?
They do. There is a narrative. Well, Julie Harrington lent into this the day after the Cheltenham Festival. She said that the dominance of Irish horses in national hunt racing is damaging to the sport. I just thought that was a loser-like mentality. It's a real loser thing to say. Like, just congratulate the Irish, congratulate Willie Mullins, and say you're going to implement various different incentives to encourage British owners to have horses in training in the UK. Because if you've got Ian Renton saying we need a better quality of horse at the very top level in jumps racing, that'll help us along. Say that stuff and then implement decisions, actionable strategies that encourage owners to have horses in training in the United Kingdom. Don't just point the finger of blame at Ireland. Willie Mullins, Henry de Bromhead, Gordon Elliott, yeah, they're having great success, but that's three people. In terms of prize money, there are 24 trainers in the United Kingdom who have won over £500,000 in prize money this year. Four of them are the big four Irish trainers. Willie Mullins, Henry de Bromhead, Gordon Elliott, and Gavin Cromwell. But that still means there are 20 British-based trainers who have won over £500,000 in prize money this year. How many Irish-based trainers have won more than, and we can't, we'll just do Euro, have won more than €500,000 in prize money?
Four, five?
Four, the big four. That's it.
Which are the four you mentioned, and who would the fifth one be?
The fifth one is Philip Rothwell, and he hasn't won £500,000 in prize money, but he is the only other trainer to train over 40 winners this season. So Philip has had a tremendous season. He's won over £400,000 in prize money. But those numbers, I think, to a certain extent, like they even hide the true fact. Like if you go down to the British Trainers Championship, Donald McCain, I like Donald, and I've had the privilege of being at his yard. Donald McCain is 16th in the British Trainers Championship, and he's got £828,000 in prize money this season. That's a huge amount of money. But it's not really £828,000. It's £82,000, because he gets 10% of the prize money. So all of this is distorted. You look at that and you think, oh my goodness, Harry Fry is making all this money. Like they're raking it. George O'Neill, £950,000. They're raking. No, it's £95,000. Now, they're obviously getting paid.
They're winners on 10%.
Isn't it 10%? It's 6.8 for jockeys.
Yeah, it says trainers 10. I've never known much. I've never asked a trainer what they get percentage-wise, so you'd probably know more than I would. But jockeys aren't on 10 anyway. That's a common misconception with us.
Yeah, it's worse for you because it's not just that it's 6.8% for the win. It's only 3.5% for the place.
Yeah, in and around. They keep jigging them around every now and then. But yeah, whatever's there now. It's not my problem anymore.
No, it's not true. But you also have to pay your agent and you have to pay some of the stable staff get paid from out of that stuff. The valets get paid. Like it's brutal to be a jockey in the UK. Like you're not. And it's said in the mainstream media, well, yeah, fair enough. Running a yard is going to be an incredibly expensive endeavor. And I know you're getting paid for each horse you have in training. That's assuming the owner is paying their training fees on time, by the way. So if you've got 20 trainers in the United Kingdom who've actual British-based trainers who've won over 500,000 in prize money this year, I would say that's pretty healthy in comparison to Ireland, where those same four who have won €500,000 in excess, and Willie Mullins is on well over €5 million, Gordon Elliott on well over four, they've also won nearly, Willie's over €3 million in prize money in the UK. Gordon's on €1.5 million in prize money in Britain. He's fifth in the Trainers' Championship without really trying to be champion trainer. If he was to set all of his bullets to Britain, he'd be champion trainer, no problem. I think that'd be pretty easy for him to do, actually, if he was to focus on that. How difficult is it to be a trainer in Britain and Ireland now? Because the money's just not there.
Yeah, it's like when you see the sales results and all that. You know, the top, there's always money for the good horses and the big horses, but the middle market is in a quite a worrying place, isn't it? You know, the people, you know, that's why I think the likes of syndicates have to grow and all that, so people can pool together and buy these kind of middle ground horses that, you know, they're just middle ground prices. They can potentially be very good or very bad. Like any horse you buy at a sale, you don't know exactly where you're going. You're just giving yourself a better chance depending on the price you pay for them. But the money probably isn't around full stop, is it? You know, there's always going to be money for a good horse. You see that at the Breeze Up sales last week in Newmarket. You know, there was some big money lots, but an awful lot of horses didn't sell and an awful lot of horses didn't make profit. You know, it's just the price of horses went so high for so long, or it wasn't able to sustain. And now you've got a kind of situation where, you know, you're losing owners because they've been priced out of the game, but then all of a sudden you lose them, and these people in droves, you've actually now got affordable prices probably on coming around again pretty soon. So it might lead to a resurgence and a kind of a reset of everything that's going on, and that would be probably for the best. But for in the meantime, the vendors, the sales and all that are probably going to take a hit for a year or two.
Is there two worlds in British and Irish racing right now, in that there's the elite level where you've got elite owners, elite trainers, and they're dominating. They're able to buy horses for vast amount of money and compete those horses then at the very top level. And then there's the middle to bottom where you're basically just trying to survive.
Yeah, it's just harder to get the good horses because you don't have you can't win the sales rank. That, I think that just happens, isn't it? You know, when you've got all the money kind of being spent on a certain amount of horses, then there's not a lot of people with that kind of money, and they're invariably going to stay with, you know, their same few trainers. So those trainers get healthier, and the other ones probably don't. It's not really a reflection on training ability between English and Irish trainers, which some people have kind of said before. I don't think it is that. I think it's more the owners or whoever's buying the most expensive horses are giving themselves the best chance of having the most winners, or the better winners.
Yeah, and that's a really good point to make as well, and that your loyalty is going to be to the person who's given you success. So if that person is, if you're Carl Hinchy and you're having success with Richard Hobson, you're not leaving Richard Hobson. Why would you?
Exactly. If you're Willie Mullins and he's giving you success, why would you leave?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, but then that means
it's, I don't know, basically is the answer. I'm not qualified to answer, but it's a bit worrying. But at the same time, you know, these things, they do go in cycles. I know I'm offering no solutions, but I just kind of let it ride, to be honest.
Even the conversation about Willie Mullins, people have brought up. You don't seem to realize how dominant trainers were back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Like, there were trainers who just seemed like they had an iron grip over the sport. But other people were able to succeed as well. And we're seeing that. Like, there are 20 British-based trainers who've won over £500,000 in prize money this year. That hasn't happened in Ireland.
I don't think it's as doom and gloom as people make out. People just love a negative story. Don't get me wrong. It's not, you know, all sunshine and rainbows. But at the same time, it's not probably as bad as people like to make it out at the same time.
The other point I would say is, though, for all that there are 20 trainers who have won over 500,000 in prize money this year, those 20 trainers didn't have the big firepower at Cheltenham. The big firepower at Cheltenham is coming from a very select few people. And maybe that's just the reality now, that there is going to be a Harry Derham or an Ollie Murphy who's going to break through and manage to have their own success. But the days of that success being spread across David Pipe, Henry Daly, Philip Hobbs, Jonjo O'Neill, Venetia Williams, that just seems like it's over. And that's opposite to what jumps racing was supposed to be. Jumps racing was the alternative to flat racing because of that variety, because of that quality. And that just doesn't seem to be happening now. Whereas conversely, there's a multitude of trainers who've got potential group winners in flat racing.
It's swapped around a bit, hasn't it?
But don't have an easy answer for it, though, but it is certainly a very interesting talking point. Let's talk about the winner, McDermott. So he came from the same Cork race that Meeting of the Waters ran in. They swapped as favouritism. Meeting of the Waters went off an unbeatable backed favourite. McDermott took an L walk in the market, but they've both emerged to win Premier Handicaps this season. Meeting of the Waters is placed in the Grand National. McDermott has gone on to win the Scottish Grand National. And the truth of the matter is, they probably wouldn't have run him in this race had it not been for the fact that Aya Maximus had won the Grand National, and so they were in the race for the Trainers' Championship. But he's ended up being an incredibly classy but also brave and gutsy performer. What did you make of the ride from Danny Mullins and the win?
It was a great race, wasn't it? You know, it was a great race. Obviously, it wasn't at the line. It was hard to split him and Sorry Quest. I couldn't split it watching it live anyway. It's a great spectacle. And yeah, as you say, like, would he have ran if Willie wasn't in contention for the trainer's title? Probably not. But, you know, maybe he might be coming over for a few more Scottish Nationals in years to come. But he is an interesting profile as well, that horse, isn't he? You know, how progressive he might be. You know, he's very untested at, you know, staying trips. And they seem to be his forte.
Yeah, he's pretty similar to Ion Maximus in that regard, that he's a young novice who comes through, wins a Grand National, Ion Maximus, the Irish Grand National. He comes on to win the Aintree version. Can McDermott follow in his footsteps next year? Does he have what it takes for Aintree? And does that even matter anymore? Is that even a thing for Aintree anymore?
No, it's definitely not a thing for Aintree anymore. Looking at it last week and even the last few years I've been riding in, it's not the Aintree factor isn't. I think that's not a thing anymore, in my opinion anyway. Has he got what it takes to win, to be an Aintree horse? I suppose now you're looking at, you kind of have to ask, do you think you could see him running well in a Gold Cup? And if the answer is yes, then you could see him running in a Grand National, because that the Aintree Grand National is now turning into such a high quality horse race that it nearly mirrors a Gold Cup at this stage, which is slightly different fences.
Yeah, that's a very good point to make. I know that Manila Indo, Galvin and Delta Work aren't quite the grade one performers that they once were, but they're former Gold Cup contenders / Gold Cup winners.
And not that long
chasing
ago.
Home Ion Maximus. Yeah.
Not that long ago, you know, not that long ago were they. They're still grade one horses, put it that way, aren't they?
So Ion Maximus, bizarrely, was able to win. Oh, actually, I wonder if this applied to McDermott as well. I don't think it does. No, because he'd won... Oh, maybe it does, actually. He won in April. Wait, does this mean McDermott is qualified for the Drinmore Novice Chase as well? Maybe history will repeat itself. McDermott will come out and win the Drinmore Novice Chase on his final start. We'll see how that one pans out. But
we'll see, yeah.
Do you feel like... Ion Maximus was beaten in open company twice. He was well held by Gallop on the Champ. One of them, he was only 17 lengths off him, which I thought was a pretty decent effort. You'd imagine McDermott will go down a pretty similar route next season.
I suppose he'll have to now, because options are going to be limited. It depends, obviously, like the Scottish Grand National isn't kind of one of those races that, you know, the winner's going to go up a stone for, you know, running in. So it depends on what his handicap is, really, isn't it? What the handicapper does to him, like Surrey Quest, you know, an outsider, McDermott, it was like 18-1 at the time. So it could, arguably what the handicapper will do to him. I don't think he's going to be as highly rated as Ion Maximus in his first start next year. So, I think if he was running up in the Drinmore, he's going to be pretty wrong at the weights, isn't he? I think.
I could be wrong,
but you would imagine he would be.
I mean, the BHA handicapper can be a little bit creative with the numbers they come up with, but 137 beats 133 beats 133 beats 132. You can't be flying up to the 150s.
Yeah,
surely.
He's not going to run the, you know, that's in and around that is what his handicap mark is going to be, what he's going to start with next year, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be. Great performance from Toby Laws. Kevin Brogan gives Surrey Quest a cracking ride. Gavin Sheehan again continues to be in money when it comes to these.
Gift maker.
He's run a cracking, another great season for Jamie Snowden as well. And then this little known trainer from Ireland has the fourth, fifth, and sixth as well. It's just remarkable what Willie Mullins is doing.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, it goes to show, like, if Ion Maximus didn't win, what would have actually the Welsh National or Scottish National looked like?
Yeah,
interesting, isn't it?
Very different landscape to the one that it was dominated by Clough Sutton.
Yeah, but he did win, least. And that's just the way it is, isn't it? So you can't really be talking about it.
I do wonder if, because to be fair to Patrick, he said it on the Final Furlong podcast back in November, as we were building up to the Fairy House Winter Festival, that they were thinking about the British Trainers Championship more than they had done in previous years, but they weren't going all out for it, and I wasn't even that sure that Alaho was going to go for the King George. And then when he got beaten, you might have thought, oh, well, that's the British Trainers Championship over and done with. But the firepower he has for Cheltenham, the prize money he's won there, put him on the map. And then he's sent a pretty decent team to Aintree. And now his C team is able to go and tear up the Air Grand National meeting.
Yeah, he's probably going to have a few more goes at the British Championship, isn't he, Willie? Because he's got all these stars running into each other, so they might as well run over here, run in the UK, which is not what the UK trainers want to hear, but that's probably what's going to end up happening, isn't it?
I would be amazed if it wasn't what happened. Would be.
And it's so accessible to get from England to Ireland these days as well, isn't it? It's not as if you're going to the other side of the world. You know, it's, just travel them. Horses travel well these days, don't they?
Aidan, has anybody checked on Dr. Richard Newland? Is he okay?
Is he all right?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. That
is he turning up to Foss Last with a big sign saying "Build that wall"? Brexit needs Brexit.
Yeah, Trump-esque, isn't it? I think I don't think I'm out of the right. I don't think I'm out of the riding my racing kind of normal kind of stance on these things, which is sit on the fence when you're a jockey. I think I think I need to work on my opinions.
No, you're grand. I would just say I like Dr. Richard Doolan quite a bit. I think that the article was just a not particularly well thought out one. And I will reiterate that he did say on Look on Sunday, well, some of my best friends are Irish, or along those lines. Yeah. I'd love to talk to him about his views. I think that those opinions really stemmed from Julie Harrington leading the way. It did. It got people talking, but I would argue that the reason he was saying what he was saying is because he was picking up the baton led by Julie Harrington. And if the CEO of British Racing is talking, the British Horses Authority is speaking in that way, then it's going to lead people to say things that they would later regret. Paul Nicholls only had one runner, but he was the highest rated runner in the race since 2015, which was another one of his horses. Stay Away Faye was just pretty desperate. It was Sam Winner back in 2015, ran off a mark of 1.62. Stay Away Faye was just pretty desperate for the second start in a row. What do you make of him now?
I don't know, and I've been a huge fan of the horse all season. You know, obviously won the Albert Bartlett last year, was very good, you know, early season. Even his run in the Cotswold Chase and Open Company as a novice was like a Gold Cup form kind of run, wasn't it? And he was really exciting after that. And then, you know, there seemed to be excuses and valid reasons for him underperforming at Cheltenham. But yeah, another non show is a bit worrying from a horse that looked so good not that long ago. So hopefully they can iron out whatever's wrong and he'll come back next year. And you'd never know, he could be another Gold Cup Grand National contender. But he's got a bit to do now, isn't he?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it at the moment. It's going to be one hell of a rebuilding effort. I mean, he's not a bad horse overnight, but it's just
There's something affecting him, isn't it? So it's just as long as a team like Paul Nicholls will identify it, I'm pretty sure they will pretty soon. It's just what, hopefully no damage has been done physically or mentally to the horse that might, you know, might stop him in the future. But, you know, as you say, he's not a bad horse overnight, but, you know, he has had two really, really poor runs considering the Stay Away Fair we were looking at 3 or 4 months ago.
Oh, he's a class act. He's slow. Like, he's Don Poley or Don Slowly 2.0. Like, that's basically what Stay Away Faye is. But you still should be seeing him finish his races out. And he drifted alarmingly in the betting before Cheltenham. And he's drifted alarmingly in the betting here as well. So somebody knew something. And the stable representative told the stewards afterwards that he did have a respiratory issue. So hopefully they'll get to the bottom of that. But
yeah.
Another Nicholls Windop will sort him out.
Yeah, so he's probably had one before, but most of the horses these days will have a wind problem of some sort throughout their career. So it's not the kind of the golden goose it used to be, horses with wind ups, because as I said, most horses you ride at some stage will need a wind surgery to rectify an issue, be it big or small. So
somebody was saying to me on WhatsApp today as well, you know, Shantus have a terrible record beyond 4 miles.
All right, okay. But how many races a year are over 4 miles?
Touche, salesman. Touche.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. Like, Shantus are very good. So I'm just trying to think of it. There's been an awful lot of good Shantus.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't saying that Shantu is a terrible, overrated stallion, they might not stay as well as you think they do.
Yeah, I suppose it'd be very easy to find out because there's only about 4 races here over 4 miles. So you could probably just look up the winners of them for the last few years and you'd probably rule out a host of good stallions.
Somebody crunch the numbers for us, please.
I'm not going to do it, to be honest.
We'll give you a shout out on the show as a reward for hours of toiling away at work.
Would be an interesting one because he's what you'd call probably an old school national hunt sire, because I said he was a sire up until a couple of years ago when he was well into his 20s. He's not one of the new kind of middle distance flat horses, you know, that in days gone by would have been going as flat sires. They're starting their lives off straight away as national hunt sires. So you would imagine Shantou would probably have a better record with Stairs, but I don't think it was just staying was the problem this time.
No, there's clearly a respiratory slash physical issue with him that hopefully they can get to the bottom of, because he was one of the most exciting horses of the season, and hopefully they'll be able to get the sticky tape out, get the blue tack, and get him back in action next season. A couple of horses to ask you about. Favour and Fortune. So he's won the Scottish Champion Hurdle, and I was initially thinking, oh, he's going to be a nice chaser next season. But Alan King thinks differently.
Yeah, and Alan King has been down that road before. He's had a lot of very good novices that have gone chasing, you know, and I think it was the horse that won the Arkle, won the Stairs Hurdle, and won the Arkle. And then
My Way to Salzen?
My Way to Salzen. There's been a few others, but then, you know, he knows what he's got, really. So if he's not going chasing, it's for a good reason. And I think he's going to start in the Greatwood. You know, yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
He's a nice horse.
Yeah, he's a very good horse. And he had a good payday the other day. And, you know, he still looked a bit green. Maybe Alan thinks it's he's got plenty of time to go chasing. So he's going to give him another year. And, you know, the open hurdle division be interesting. You know, could be another champion hurdle contender if he wins a Greatwood.
Well, I wonder, has he just looked at the hurdling division in Britain and gone, this is rubbish. Like, this is really weak. Take Constitution Hill out of it, and suddenly a horse who was going for the Stairs Hurdle can be plugged in and finish second in the Champion.
Yeah, I think there's that way of looking at it. But I don't think that might have been one of the reasons. But usually, when trainers are kind of and owners and a team are discussing their next year plan with horses, they'll look at the individual horse, and the outside kind of competition will be kind of only a point of that conversation. I don't think it's going to be the center of it.
Yeah.
So they obviously just think another year hurdling would benefit him more, and then that would be my reading of it. But we could ask Alan and find out.
Sure, absolutely. He's very good at the media, Alan King. He's one of my favorite trainers as well. So more than happy to ask him about that one. That Supreme Novice Hurdle form is working out pretty well too. Mystical Powers came out and won at Aintree. Firefox obviously ran very well there too. Favour and Fortune's now gone on and won the Scottish Champion Hurdle. Slade Steele's form is getting a nice boost.
Yeah, good form. Yeah, it'll be interesting. And obviously we'll see more of it at Punch's Sound as well in a couple of weeks, won't we? So it's a race that very rarely turns out to be a poor race, isn't it? Usually it works out quite strong, doesn't it?
Yeah, Slade Steele was the lowest rated winner since Somerville Boy. But just because he was the lowest rated winner doesn't mean he's not a top-class prospect for next season and that the form will work out.
Who knows? As you say, when you look at Mystical Power and you look at Firefox and you look at, you know, I think he just got in off a low rating. I think he's going to leave that rating behind him, really. As long as he goes on from the Supreme Novices, I think that's just one of them years. He just kind of got in, it doesn't really matter what rating he's in. It's an open, you know, it's a championship race, but I think it's one of them that I don't think his rating reflects the performance or his ability at this moment.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. It would have been interesting to know where Golden Ace would have finished in the Supreme Novice Hurdle had she gone there. But there's a Mare's Novice Hurdle at Cheltenham, so she was able to run in that. She won it. It was a shock win. Since then, Jade de Grugy's come out and won the Grade 1 Mare's Novice Hurdle at Fairy House. Brighter Days Ahead has won the Grade 1 Open Company Novice Hurdle, thrashing the geldings and living up to the potential that Gordon Elliott has been saying she has. And Golden Ace, it's a listed race, one you've won many times actually in Cheltenham. She's entitled to go and win it, but still, she's done it in good style. Is she champion hurdle material for next season?
Well, as you said earlier when we were talking about Alan King's horse, you know, you take Constitution Hill out, what is the British champion hurdle horse? And when you look at the poor run of events that he's gone through the last few months, you think like you can't be as fearful of him as you would have been maybe this time last year when he looked like he was just going to be take all before him for years to come. Now he's very much shown that he's mortal. And as I say, we hope he comes back and has no long-term issues from, you know, the colic or whatever illness he had. But at this moment in time, you couldn't be running scared of one horse that hasn't seen a race course by the time the Fighting Fifth comes around in 10 months. So why not have a go at a champion hurdle? So whether she's the answer, I don't know. She won it to Cheltenham, which was great. And the race the other day was a penalty kick for her, wasn't it?
It was just a very clever piece of placing.
But Jeremy Scott, you know, he's one of them trainers that throws up a good horse every other year, doesn't he? Which is remarkable. And nice man as well, so fair play to him. But yeah, the British champion hurdle team next year is going to be very interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I don't think it's bar, you know, well, interesting. I'm not sure. Is it you take Constitution Hill out? It's not a strong one, is it?
Well, Stateman will be there, but he won't turn up until he's won all the gobbled up all the grade ones in Ireland. So it'll be Champion Hurdle Day, really, is when we probably see him. Mystical Power might.
Well,
turn
this is
up
it with
Willie
with
fifth.
All these. You know, they are probably going to come to your Fighting Fifths and your Fighting Fifths and your
Christmas hurdles
and the international hurdle. Willie won that already this year, didn't he? With lost him out.
Yeah. Those races, another one.
Yeah, another one. Yeah, so you probably will see a lot more Irish runners in these until Constitution Hill asserts his dominance again.
In your experience, given what's happened to Constitution Hill and what we've been told about what the horse has been through, how worried are you that he'll come back to the horse he once was?
You'd have to be very worried. You know, I think he should be okay, but. You know, if I had something depending on it, I'd be very worried. Yeah, you know, it's a big task to come back from the trials he's had over the last couple of months. But saying that, he has looked like potentially one of the greatest horses we've ever seen. I always said from day one he was one of the best horses I've ever seen. I worked on him a couple of times and saw plenty of him at Nicky's, and I thought. That is special. What he needs is longevity to be talked about in the greats. And, you know, it's probably one thing that he's definitely not had a rub of it this year. But we just need to see more of Constitution Hill at the level we saw him last year to talk about him as a great. And you'd have to be a bit worried now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd be very concerned. Mm-hmm. I don't have the knowledge that you do, but I'd be very concerned.
I think everyone's just guessing with him. So it comes back to how the horse is fit and healthy. And the thing is, racehorses need to run. And he was stopped from running a few times. So, you know, what effects that has on him. You know, they're thoroughbred. You don't know.
Yeah. The thing about Constitution Hill is I can see him coming back next year and just blitzing the opposition easily in the Fighting Fifth and doing the same in the Christmas Hurdle at Kempton. What I'm interested in is, what's he going to find off the bridle when he's in a champion hurdle up against
I think if he turns up for the Fighting Fifth and wins with authority, then I think you're pretty safe that he'll go and win champion hurdle.
Okay.
I think it'll be one. I think it'll be one or the other. I think it'll be one or the other with him. I think if he shows that he's, you know, good enough to win a Christmas hurdle or a Fighting Fifth really well, I think that'll be enough for me.
Tell you what. Take all that out, Trish, because what we're going to do is we're going to try and stitch up Jeff Banks. And if we can get, like, Jeff to push him out to a massive price.
Well, Jeff's been around long enough
gets it done
now
in the Fighting Fifth. I don't know. He's not that. And then we just hammer him and make an absolute fortune. That'll work. That'll work nicely.
Until he works bad 2 weeks before.
Oh, God. No. Not again, Nicky. I hope he's back, and I hope he.
Yeah, it'd be great to see him back. He's a lovely horse, and he does deserve a.
Yeah, well, also racing just needs a star like him, and he's a superstar of a horse. It is good to hear Nicky saying the Shishkin's coming to Punchestown.
Great.
Good man, Nicky. Keita Bourbon, just very briefly indulge me on him because I backed him for the Martin Pipe. Gavin Lynch was all over him as well. He ran well that day behind Better Days Ahead, but. What are brighter days ahead even? But what do you make of his long-term prospects for next season after his win at Ayr?
I just think you have to look at Willie's number one pick for the Martin Pipe at Cheltenham is usually a very, very good horse, isn't it? You know, his winners or runners in it over years gone by have been pretty, you know, for a handicap, have been pretty pretty impressive, haven't they? And if he was good enough to be... the yard's number one pick and run well with it. You know, he didn't underperform or bomb out or anything like that. He ran really well. You know, it's just a race that probably could work out very well. He's probably a horse, you know, it's going to be, you know, own connections would say he's going to probably play a big part in the better novice chases next year, isn't he?
Yeah, I'd imagine intermediate staying trips over fences next season will be deadly. He didn't quite win, but Sir Deschamps, Dom Poley, Kaloltovic, Galopin Deschamps, it's not a coincidence that those horses were all targeted at the Martin Pipe and then ended up being grade one winners in their own right afterwards. So let's see if he can. I think he's going to be a really good horse next year. I think Gordon's one will be really good too. Speaking of Cheltenham, Ian Renton has been in the news in the Racing Post. James Stevens has been doing some sterling work there, talking about potential changes to the Cheltenham Festival for 2025. The Cheltenham Festival boss, this is according to the Racing Post, was explaining there will be a number of changes to the race program in response to the drop in the number of top quality horses taking part. The 4-day, 28 race structure will remain, but each contest will come under scrutiny to ensure Jump Racing's biggest festival maintains its competitiveness. Coming to us from the Racing Post. Well, if the 4-day, 28 race program is going to stay, because according to the Jockey Club's market research, everybody wants a 7-race card at Cheltenham, how is it going to improve or get better if it's still going to be a 4-day, 28-day festival? 28 race festival.
I would love to pack the 3 days and last the race and have last 3 races and had an extra race of 3 days of an extra race and each day and got rid of it. But that's not happening. I don't think it's ever been.
Aidan Coleman, will you be the new
CEO
of the British Horse Racing Authority?
I'd give it a go for the money.
Get out, Julie! Get out!
No, I'm not qualified for that. I'd give it a go. But I have very radical views.
You are qualified.
I'm not sure what I need it. I'm not sure what I have the people skills or the racing. I think I'm but I would
he just gave up. No,
I don't think I don't want to fight a losing battle. I wouldn't even bother contemplating it, to be honest, because it's not going to happen. So maybe one day. Changes.
But the changes are like, if you're saying we're not dropping any races, then you're basically saying you're not changing anything. So what's the big radical change going to be? Make the cross country a handicap?
Well, I think that's one that should happen, but that's not really going to do a lot for the meeting. Maybe bring in a novice handicap chase of some sort, replace it with the Turners. Not sure about the mayor's program. Is it Kevin Blake maybe, or someone said maybe make a couple of the mayor's races handicaps, which would force the elite mares into the championship races. And it gives,
or just downgrade them. Downgrade the mares' hurdle to a grade two.
Yeah. I think if you made them handicaps, handicaps have big, they have more runners, don't they? And they're more of a betting heat. And it gives everybody a chance rather than just the elite trainers. If you made them maybe handicaps, and it would force those mares out of those races into, champion hurdles or champion chases. You know, they get allowances in them races, put the kettle on, won a champion chase. You know, somewhat as an outsider with a £7 allowance. Everyone actually thought she was going to go for the mayor's race, and she might have even had an entry. But Henry's thinking, and the owner's thinking, and my thinking, when we all discussed it, was I had very little part of this, by the way. They kind of just came to me last. Was Arkell winners have such a great record in the champion chase? Let her have a go. And also, what I said to probably concrete, I think the only thing I said about it when they came to me was she only was a good mare, a grade one mare on the old course of Cheltenham. All her other form, everywhere she'd ever been, wasn't up to being an Arkell or a champion chase winner. But when she set foot on the old course, she did improve like a stone. So the mare's race being on the other course would have been a negative for me. So she took her chance in the champion and won.
So you are going to have an enormous amount of people who will just rail against the idea of getting rid of the mayor's races and say, how dare you?
I definitely made them handicaps of something, some sort or something like that. I think it would help.
Yeah.
But my thing, if I had to do one thing, would be make it 3 days and have an extra race on each of the 3 days.
Well, that's what I'd do.
Yeah, get rid of three races, yeah.
So if the argument that the Jockey Club are putting forward is, well, it costs, we can't lower the ticket prices, we can freeze the ticket prices, but we can't lower the ticket prices because since the pandemic, it costs so much money to put it on an event. You're like, yeah, you're right about that. So reduce it to 3 days. Like, this is the same crowd who 2 years ago, and we know this because of the award-winning journalism of Lee Motta said, 2 years ago, they were taking a vote amongst their members at a Cheltenham Festival preview about extending Cheltenham to a 5-day festival.
It wasn't the members, that conversation, was it?
It was 2 years ago, and the members rejected it, and they still proceeded with plans for a 5-day festival.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Racing politics, eh?
Yeah. Smile and nod, but I wouldn't be holding out much hope that there's going to be radical changes. Well, hang on.
Well, there can't be.
That's very unfair of me.
Gender, really. They change conditions of races. That's not radical, is it?
Well, it's a little bit like the BHA saying the Premier Racing is going to be a radical change for racing, and it's going to revolutionize the sport with enhanced race day experiences.
Yeah.
How's that working out with the Jockey Club handing back Premier Race fixtures?
Yeah, I don't really understand this, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't either, mate. That's why I'm absolutely convinced you do have the qualifications to run.
Right, okay. Well, you
pretty certain. So do I.
You fund the campaign for me to get me into it, and I'll go with it. Yeah.
Call up Jeff. See if we can get a few quid behind a campaign for Aidan Coleman to run British Racing. They'll take you out. Your other knee will be gone now as well. Really appreciate your insight today. Really appreciate your company, and hopefully we'll have you back on very, very soon.
Thank you very much.
There is Punchestown coming up after all, so Aidan will definitely be on duty for that. If you like this episode of the show, give us a like on YouTube. It's not going to cost you a huge amount of time. All you got to do is just click that button right there, that like button. Thank you very much. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the show. If you did, more content coming your way very, very soon. And if you didn't, keep it to yourself. From Aidan Coleman and myself, look after yourself and each other. God bless.